Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card into the first year automatically. No limit. Discover.com/yes, limitations apply. You know what I'm excited to watch tomorrow? I have to pay attention to Ann this weekend because she's been gone for a couple of weeks, so she's back today. But I did say, could I just squeeze a couple hours of Michigan? Is that Michigan State? Michigan State's a 3.5-point dog. I like Michigan State to keep it really close. But it is funny. Harbaugh has lost to the top 10 teams a lot, and he's lost to Ohio State. What's really hurt him is that he doesn't dominate his in-state foe, Michigan State, 6 games, 3-3. Joe Klatt pointed this out earlier this week, that one snap, they had the lead. They it was incredible loss. The punt, they dropped it, Michigan State won. Had they won that, they'd be 4-2, and that probably gets them eventually into the playoff. And then what would you say? Well, he can't beat Ohio State. Well, who does? I mean, almost nobody. So it's this, the Michigan State. You got to win the state first. It doesn't matter if you're a politician, you're a football coach. You got to win the state. And this is, if he loses to Mel Tucker, who just got there a year and a half ago, that's a bad loss for Harbaugh. So, and I've defended Jim a lot, but they're the better team. I'm not sure how much better they are. And in college, that home field can be a 3 or 4 point swing. So this is a massive, massive game, not just in the rivalry, but I do like Michigan. But boy, Mel Tucker's teams are physical. I think this is my favorite, first or second favorite college football game of the year. It's big noon, Fox Saturday. Watch it. It will be great. It will be so intense. Two really intense coaches.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is The Herd Line News.
Well, it's early for us.
Really early game.
Yeah. So on the West Coast.
Yeah.
So you can get your 3 hours in and then.
And then the whole day for Ann.
You got the day.
The day.
There you go. Well, there's some big lines this week on Fox Bets. We talked a little bit about some of the spreads getting to be college-like last week.
Yeah.
Well, there's three teams favored by double digits again this week as well.
I only like one of them.
The Bills are favored by 14 over the Dolphins.
Oh, I like that one.
I also like that spread. The Rams are 15-point favorites over the Texans.
They don't play under McVay. They're not as sparkly on the road. They're not quite as efficient.
Yeah, so it is at Houston. That's a sneaky one. I don't think the Texans are going to win, obviously, but 15 points is a lot of points.
What are the Bengals favored by?
The Bengals are favored by 11 at the Jets.
Well, they're going to win that game, but they did come off their biggest win as a franchise in a decade.
It was a massive win, but...
And the Jets were humiliated. Humiliated teams in this
league.
Yeah,
but humiliated teams when they're good.
Well, yeah.
The Jets don't have Zach Wilson, and their backup, Mike White, is going to be starting for them.
Oh, boy.
So, I'm with you. A good team that gets humiliated has a bounce back week.
Kansas City, by the way.
Yes. We all like them against the Giants on Monday night.
They're going to play great this week.
But a bad team who gets humiliated might just be a bad team. So I do think the Bengals will come down a little bit, but that win was on the road also, though. So I don't know about the Bengals. I got to think about that one a little bit more. You took the Bills in your blazing 5. You also took the Colts -2.5.
Well, the Dolphins offensive line is the lowest rated pass blocking line in the league. Tua is not super athletic, and the Bills' defensive front is relentless. It's just waves of guys. So I think Miami may, if they move the ball, it's just going to be in between the 30s. They're not going to get many,
No, if they're going to compete with the Bills, they need some big plays.
And they're going to be kicking field goals. It's going to be a field goal day for Miami.
There's also some really big divisional matchups this weekend. The Colts and Titans. You like the Colts -2.5.
That's the Colts season.
It is. It's a massive, massive game for the Colts.
Yeah.
And Browns against the Steelers. Baker's going to play. Browns -3.5.
Love the Browns with Baker in that game.
I don't know.
I can't stand Pittsburgh's offense.
It's brutal. It's archaic, and it's like nails on a chalkboard. I get it. And then the Bucks at the Saints. So there are some big divisional matchups. Now, last week had some blowouts predicted, and it wasn't so many competitive games. These games this weekend are huge.
Last week, the Lions and the Rams was way closer than we thought. I think this week...
So the Eagles play the Lions at Detroit this week.
I know I'm a sucker on this. I think the Texans will push back on the Rams. I don't think they'll win, but... God,
15, no, I don't. 15 is a lot of points
on the road. That's a ton.
Houston's not great though,
and the Rams don't travel fans. It's going to be an all Texans crowd.
There's a lot of interesting matchups this weekend.
Yeah.
So the Patriots were around the TB12 method for years with Tom Brady and Mac Jones. Mac and Cheese has his own ritual before he gets ready to play on Sundays, and he spoke about the unusual meal he eats before every game.
Apparently, your pregame meal, even for a 1 o'clock game, is it steak and eggs with spaghetti? Is that true?
Yeah.
8 a.m.?
Yeah, it's always the same thing, regardless of the kickoff. Same thing in college, just getting into a routine. And I've eaten that at 6 in the morning before 11 o'clock games in college. So it's just part of the routine that I've gotten into. And so it just kind of gets your mind ready. And it's nothing crazy. I think it's a pretty simple meal.
Mac, look. I am by no one has ever accused me of being a nutritionist, but that is not a simple meal in the morning.
Well, a steak is hard to digest.
I mean, steak and eggs is...
I'd never had it until 3 weeks ago in my life. I'm not joking. I love steak. I love eggs. I'd never had steak and eggs in my life.
As for breakfast?
Ever until 3 weeks ago with my son.
It's delicious.
I'd never had it.
Now, steak and eggs is a normal breakfast. Steak, eggs, and spaghetti is not a normal breakfast.
No, he's trying to get some carbs in, which turned to sugar, so I wouldn't eat that before a game. I would be, but the steak and eggs is protein that energizes you. But I had never had steak and eggs. I'm personalizing this. It was delicious. I highly recommend.
Are you converted now?
Well, I'm somebody that I eat dinner food at dinner, breakfast food at breakfast, and I just thought, I'm a steak night guy, and I tried it with my son 3 weeks ago. It was delicious.
What's a nice treat is if you go to the steakhouse. Do you take leftovers home?
Sure, absolutely.
So if you don't finish your steak, then you bring it home.
Steak and eggs.
Cook it in the morning. That's a nice treat. Mm-hmm. So speaking of treats, Mississippi State coach Mike Leach has made it very clear he's not a fan of candy corn. We have that in common.
Yeah.
He was asked about potentially giving the candy another chance, and he doubled down.
No, I do not. I do not. That's been carefully researched since I was a child. Although it did have some brighter points in my life, in particular when I was young. You know, the type of thing where it gets all over your hands and your face. before long, though, I realized that was a grave error and there was far better paths ahead than candy corn. So, yeah, I have no interest. It's one of those items that, you know, there's a reason they serve it basically once a year because it's not very good to begin with.
Tastes like plastic. Wax.
It does taste like wax. I call it candle bites. Thank you. It tastes like they carved little pieces of candle.
And add sugar to it.
Yeah.
It's flavoring. It tastes like wax.
It's absolutely terrible. He also posted this. I love how serious he took that question, by the way. Very articulate. We like a good answer at the podium. And he also posted this to his Twitter accounts on how to eat candy corn, which is open the bag, pour it into the trash can, and then eat a Reese's peanut butter cup instead.
When I was a kid, that's what everybody wanted.
Candy corn?
No, Reese's peanut butter cups.
Oh, yeah, Reese's peanut butter cup.
That's the home run.
My favorite is Twix, but I could wax poetic about candy bars forever. Yeah. So you're going to give out candy this weekend, but are you going to give out apples?
I'm going to give out apples, hopefully fresh apples, but I bought them about a week ago. So
did you buy the apples for Twitter?
Oh, yeah. I already bought that.
You are going to do this, right?
Yeah.
So if you're watching the show, then you'll be in on the joke. But
I'm going to post apples on Twitter on Sunday morning. Can't wait to see the kids tonight for trick or treat and watch people just freak out.
I hope somebody accidentally blogs about it.
I'm sure they would. Like, you'll be in on the joke, America, the listening, but it's just to be obnoxious, I thought I'd do that.
Well, because Twitter thinks Twitter is the whole world. It's like a reflection of the whole entire world.
I did this like 5 years ago. People freaked out, and I'm like...
You did the same joke?
Yes.
And I love it.
Now I thought I'm going to double down. And you know what I'm thinking about doing is because I bought them a few days ago, put the brown ones up, just make it look awful.
Like not even a good, like delicious looking apple. It's my favorite.
So obnoxious. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Second round pick, he played. He scouted for the Hawks and Panthers. He's our friend, Fox Sports NFL analyst Bucky Brooks is now joining us on the show. Love to have Bucky on. Let's hear it for him. Yes. Fantastic. So that was quite a performance last night. I'm not a play caller, and I'm not going to pretend I am. I my only criticism of Green Bay was shotgun at the half-yard line. Explain why coaches do that. Is that a new analytic thing? I don't like it at all.
I don't get it. I don't like those plays. I don't like plays from the shotgun at the one-yard line. I don't like the wide receiver screen at the one-yard line. I think it's too congested and cluttered. And for the Packers last night, they were having success running the ball. Whether A.J. Dillon or Adam Jones, they just had Aaron Jones. They had enough momentum in the running game to just be able to pound it up in there. So yeah. I don't like getting cute down there because they actually cost themselves plenty of points by not running it in and finish off the
drive. Almost lost the game.
Yes.
A game in which they completely dominated. 37-minute time of possession. There was no excuse. I was trying to think, when Arizona was driving, I'm like, what am I going to lead my show with? Green Bay's the better team. What do I say? It felt like Green Bay's night. That's what it felt like to me. It was Green Bay's night.
Yeah, I felt like it was Green Bay's night. I wouldn't necessarily say that they were the better team. I would say that turnovers always cost you. And so Rondale Moore had a kickoff return or a punt muff that put the ball right at the eve of the goal line. And then they had an interception that was also another short field. And so for a team that didn't really play great the entire night, I didn't feel like the Packers were a better team than the Cardinals. I felt like they controlled the game. And I also felt we saw a different side of the Green Bay Packers, one that the front office won't get enough credit for. They go and get A.J. Dillon, which made a lot of people upset that they drafted a running back in the second round and they need to get Aaron Rodgers another weapon. Well, that other weapon was a big body running back to complement Aaron Jones, so they can play a physical style. And so this really helped them. I think what it did is it showed that the Packers do have a complete team. They can run the football when they need to run it. They were able to make enough plays in the passing game, even though Aaron Rodgers' stat line wasn't great. They threw a lot of screens, a lot of things.
There was no deep threat last night.
None, not at all. And so they were balanced enough, and I think the defense won't get enough credit for the job that they did. You talk about an Arizona team that had hit 30 points maybe five or six times this year. They held them down. They kept the ball in front. And so they are a very complete team. I'm not ready to say that they're a superior team to the Cardinals. I think they got the game on their terms, though.
Yeah. So I want to talk about a couple games this week. One of them is interesting. So I understand there's a lot of people not rooting for Urban Meyer. College coach comes in with a big paycheck. People are like, man, I've been in this NFL for 30 years. I can't get that paycheck. Mm-hmm. But I talked to Greg Cosell the last couple of weeks, and he's like, they're doing a good job with Trevor Lawrence. He's getting really good, and they're making him make tough throws, and they don't have a ton of personnel. And they go to Seattle this week, and I got to tell you, as a former scout, you look at this, considering what he's surrounded by, what he is doing well, it's about all they can do well. I think he looks the part.
Oh, Trevor Lawrence is the real deal. Like, there's no question about Trevor Lawrence. And I think we have to be careful about looking at production and making the production be the sole basis of the evaluation. Because you're hearing a lot of people talk about Mac Jones being the best quarterback in this class and all this other stuff, and Trevor Lawrence, we don't know, and can he make it? Here's what I'll tell you. When you watch the game, you have to trust your eyes when you're watching the game. Trevor Lawrence is being asked to push the ball down the field.
Yes.
Trevor Lawrence is making high-level throws. Trevor Lawrence has kind of figured it out to a certain extent. The way that he played the first couple weeks, he's not playing the same way. His confidence is there. He's doing that. And I believe that they could even utilize him more. Movement game, more stuff that he was doing at Clemson. And you're right. Next year, no more priority for them. Has to be able to get a number one and a number two receiver. Someone that can dominate on the outside. Someone can command a double team so the other guy can go to work. Because if you put Trevor Lawrence in a situation where he had a Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, you would see him do Justin Herbert type stuff. He just doesn't have that personnel around him right now.
Yeah. Also, let's talk Mac Jones for a second. So his last 10 quarters, he's been wildly productive. Now, we know he's accurate. That was always his thing. He'll get the ball out. People compared him to Breeze. So, but, you know, when I watched the second half against the Texans, and then you watch the Dallas game, and then you watch, now the Jets is a little bit of a throwaway, but I will say this. The symmetry, he's kind of figured it out. They're not using the tight ends as much as I'd like, but they've kind of figured it out, it feels like.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's a perfect fit for what they want to do. But I think if you look at this, it's very much like baseball, right? It's very much like the Atlanta Braves were playing against the Dodgers. The Dodgers want to load up and hit home runs. The Braves are knocking around, stealing bases, and doing those things. Well, that's what Mac Jones is doing. He has thrown more 10-yard or fewer passes than anybody else in the National Football League.
Right.
So it is paper cut city in terms of get the ball out to the little playmakers, stay on schedule, and those things. I think the big thing is it's underrated in terms of we talk about fit and scheme. The way the Patriots want to play, Mac Jones is a perfect fit for that scheme. But what is the ceiling when it comes to that? Because what happens is the second time around the league, when people begin to figure out, okay, can we squeeze the field? Can we take away the short stuff? Can he push it down the field enough to back those teams off? That's the evolution of Mac Jones. And then we will actually have an opportunity to see, okay, Mac Jones has an opportunity to be a blue chip player, an elite player in this league.
So let's talk Dak. We said earlier, the AFC has got a greater depth of good teams. There's about 10, 11 teams look like they can make the playoffs. NFC is really good at the top, and there's not much on the bottom. You're going to get a Saints team, a Falcons team, a Carolina team can make the playoffs. And I said with Dallas is you're probably not getting the number one seed because if a tiebreaker would go to Tampa, they beat you. Green Bay's division's not very good. Arizona and the Rams are really good. You want to get one of those top three or four seeds, so you have to open up at Arizona or at the Rams. What do you do with Dak if he's 80% this weekend?
It's tough because it's a longer season. And I think a lot of it has to be, can you tweak the game plan to protect Dak from himself? Meaning, can this be a game where, hey, let's rely on the running game more, Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard. If we're going to throw, we have to go more shotgun because we don't want to move him. Because you have to remember, I want to say Aaron Rodgers had similar calf injuries where he wasn't able to move, and they used the pistol formation. They used shotgun. A couple years ago when he hurt it, he tweaked his calf maybe against the Chicago Bears in the season opener, and he had to play with a calf injury, and they changed things. So can the Cowboys change things? Now, the issue that you have is the Minnesota Vikings team is an underrated team, a good team. You don't necessarily want to just give away a game by sitting Dak down.
Well, yeah, if Cooper Rush starts, you're losing the game.
And lose the momentum and the good vibes that you've created. So I would play him, but if at any time or any point in the game he has an issue, I have to pull him out. But yes, I want to take care of Dak because Dak makes this offense go.
So I was talking about this with I'm the 49ers. I look at my division. I got Stafford now twice a year, Kyler twice a year, and Russell Wilson. And Trey Lance got to figure out how to play. I don't want to make this a four-year process. So if Garoppolo couldn't win at Chicago this weekend, do you just look at it and go, okay, this is a – we're 4-4. I'm just getting this kid snap. I'm getting Trey Lance. I want him to get 750 snaps as we go into the offseason. I don't care about W's. Do you get to a point where it's like, okay, I'm 4-4 now. I don't want to go into next year being his first year starting significant games and just say, I don't care if we go 0-8. I want 800 snaps.
Now, this is hard now. It's hard because you're Kyle Shanahan, because now we're hearing more chirping than we've ever heard about the San Francisco 49ers. He is sitting with a losing record. He's 31-39.
Yeah.
He's had, if they lose, have a losing record this year, 4 to 5 seasons they've had losing records. They have the one Super Bowl run. So now you're beginning to question, well, how good is he? Because I've seen other guys in this system. I've seen Sean McVay come and have immediate success. I've seen Matt LaFleur in Green Bay, a disciple, have immediate success. But here he is with the upside-down record, a record that is, I guess you could say, kind of similar to what Mike Singletary was doing during his time. I think it's really important for Kyle Shanahan to start chalking up wins and worry about the quarterback development later, because what he runs the risk of is not only the outside noise, but then people in the locker room wondering, can he get this done? Can he lead us to where we want to go? Yes, we went to the Super Bowl. So, yes, you have to get the wins. As much as I would say, hey, man, play Trey Lance, I think what he has to do is play the quarterback that gives him the best chance to call the game to win it.
Okay, so let's go to Chicago then, where I could make an argument with an offensive line that bad, as the Bears have, that Dalton will get you in and out of blitz protections, probably better than a kid will at this point. Would you play Dalton or have Justin Fields get crushed in these games?
Well, I mean, he's been getting crushed. The difference is they went and made that move early. And so now that you made the move, Justin Fields hasn't done anything that would say, okay, let's pull him off the field. So now he's on the field. You got to keep playing him.
Okay.
But I think what you have to do, if you're Matt Nagy, and it's all convoluted in terms of who's calling the plays and who's doing the game managing and all that other stuff. But Bill Lazor has done a good job of kind of putting in some things for Justin Fields. So here's the interesting thing about Justin Fields. I told you about Mac Jones has the most 10 yards or fewer passes. Justin Fields has the least. Some of that is he hasn't played as much, but they're pushing it down the field, higher degree of difficulty. So he's not going to have the same level of success. I believe they can help him with play calling, throw it shorter, let him see some layups go in, then build out the offense from there, because you want to build his confidence while you're also getting the experience. I don't know if they're necessarily going about it the right way to give him the confidence while also trying to win games.
It's all interesting. The that Baker Case Keenum thing, I said, if you're a politician or a quarterback, you got to win the local market first.
Uh-huh.
Okay, if you're an Ohio senator, you better win Ohio. Forget about being president if you can't win your state. I think it's important that Baker is playing this week because Case beats Denver. Case would have beaten Pittsburgh. They can't score.
Mm-hmm.
And then you ask Baker to come back and play Joe Burrow. And if you lose Monday morning on Cleveland radio, although it would be silly, there's going to be people that are like, dude, who's winning games?
Mm.
We got Burrow in this division. We got Lamar Jackson in this division. I actually think it's important that Baker not 100% plays because I think they'll win this weekend. Or do you think all that stuff's overrated?
Oh, no, that's real. I think it's real because I think you've heard players on their team talk about there wasn't that big of a drop off between one or the other. So when that's I think Judge Wills kind of intimated and said, you know, Case Keenum, like, it's all about the same. Well, that's the issue. If the number one overpick, the guy that we're about to give maybe $40 million annually to, is not that much different than the backup quarterback making $6 million, that is a problem. And when you look at the game, and I think everyone has to look at the game and see, is there a major difference between Baker Mayfield and Case Keenum running this offense? Yes, Baker Mayfield may be better, but how much better when it comes to millions of dollars? Because if I take Baker Mayfield, and I pay him what I have to pay him, and I remove some of their guys. Wyatt Tiller, I remove Denzel Ward. We're not as good of a team, but my quarterback is making all that. I think this is a situation where Baker wants to go and prove to people that he can do it, but I think if you're Andrew Barry, you're Kevin Stefanski, you're looking, you have to weigh, how do we go about this? Do we just string it along and do the franchise tag like the Cowboys did with Dak Prescott, or is he really significantly enough better where we make this big check and pay him what he's going to want, which is Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Dak Prescott money?
Are you an SFY today?
Yeah, I am.
All right. Good seeing you, bud.
Good seeing you, man.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Weather looking nasty? Don't change your plans. Change your wiper blades. Michelin wiper blades available on Amazon Prime. Jason McIntyre, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. We bring him on Fridays. He makes his picks. We call it Tomorrow's Headlines Today. He's a former newspaper guy. So here we go. You got six beauties right now. Tomorrow's Headlines Today, J-Mac. Steelers at the Browns.
Divisional game rematch from the playoff shocker when the Browns killed them. The headline will be trick or treat. Steelers get beat. You can already sense a Halloween theme. I like the Browns here a lot.
So do I.
Colin, the advanced stats are crazy here. So the Cleveland Browns net yards per play, number two in the NFL. The Steelers are 26th. If you look at this and you're like, wait, how is this such a big spread? Even though the Browns are injured, Baker is going to start. I don't care if Nick Chubb, D'Ernest Johnson, I don't care if it's Kevin Mack, Ernest Biner. I like the Browns in this big time. Just remember, when the Steelers play good defenses, right? They face the Bengals and the Bills, top 10 units. They couldn't move the football. And what are the Browns? One of the top five defenses in the league. I like Cleveland a lot this weekend.
Yeah, it's my second favorite pick. I did not put it in a blazing, which I'm going to
How did you miss that?
Because I didn't know if Baker was going to play. And so I thought with Case.
It's fair.
But now with Baker, I think they win by a touchdown or more. Tomorrow's headlines today, Niners at the Bears.
Oh, boy. This is one we talked about early this week. This is a spicy game. I had Peter King on my podcast today. He's kind of going in on Shanahan. I'll tell you about it in a second. The headline will be, here's Jimmy. 49ers shine over Bears. I'm going with Garoppolo. I love the art here. What a strong
job.
Unit.
Nice.
So Kyle Shanahan, you know he's in his fifth year. Everybody loves him. He's a media darling. 31-39 career record. Colin, that he's not getting it done. It's possible that he's just a better coordinator than a head coach.
Certainly possible.
And there's nothing wrong with that. I know the injuries have been bad. This has to be the week for the 49ers. At 2-4, the season kind of on tilt, right? If they lose this one, the schedule's very difficult playing in the NFC West. Bears, no Khalil Mack, no head coach, although some people are saying that could be a positive. I like San Francisco to win this. They've played very good teams tough and lost close ones. I think they're the side here. I know laying points with Kyle Shanahan and Jimmy G on the road is risky, but I like the Niners over Chicago.
Tomorrow's headlines today. I stayed away from this one. Panthers at the Falcons.
Sometimes you got to just hold your nose and lay the money. The headline will be Darnold not seeing ghosts anymore. Carolina over Atlanta, Colin. Probably my upset of the week. I know this is a buy low, sell high, right? You're a big stock market guy. I know you're into the investments and real estate as well.
Yeah.
Right now, Atlanta's as high as the market's going to get. They've won 3 of 4. Kyle Pitts, everybody loves him. Carolina losers of 4 straight. No McCaffrey. Darnold got benched last week. Nobody's touching Carolina. I think the defense, which gets their best linebacker, Shaq Thompson, back, he will probably defend Pitts. I think Carolina could show up and win this game outright. They're not awful. They've just hit a bad stretch. Darnold has been pretty awful, right? We agree, Sam Darnold, it's over. I'm going with Carolina in the upset in Atlanta.
All right, this next one I love. Tomorrow's headlines today, Patriots come to L.A. and take on the Bolts.
Well, the word is you may be at this game, huh?
Yeah,
that's a big one. The headline will be Pat's panic in Herbert's haunted house. SoFi Stadium will be rocking. I like the Chargers here. People keep talking about New England. Hey, they just hung 50 on the Jets. I had the Jets last weekend. 500 yards. Colin, fun fact. Patriots, 3 wins. Over rookie quarterbacks. Zach Wilson twice, Davis Mills. They've had 4 games at home. This is the toughest road game for Mac Jones by far. And I think the Chargers defense is getting healthier. They get a safety back, their best linebacker returns. It feels like off the bye, Brandon Staley will be ready. And if you're into the whole revenge angle, remember last year, 45-0 at SoFi.
Herbert, look, well, listen, he still qualifies as a young quarterback,
young.
And Belichick has...
Yeah, but what Belichick doesn't have is a secondary. They're pulling guys out of haunted hayrides right now to suit up in the secondary. Seriously, practice squad guys for the Patriots against Herbert and Williams and Keenan Allen. I like the Chargers. Actually big in this one.
Tomorrow's headlines today. Divisional rivalry, Bucks at the Saints.
Ah, boy, this is a typical one. You know, Bucks riding high, but the headline will be Bucks Monster D mashes Jameis. Colin, I have to give it to Jameis Winston. I bashed him in the preseason, not a believer. You know, he's got 10 touchdowns and 0 interceptions in the red zone. Like, he's playing well. He's not making the pick six reads. You know, maybe it was the offseason LASIK he got that's helping him out. But Jameis Winston's playing well. I just can't see them beating Tom Brady, who has struggled on the road. 0-3 against the spread away from home. I like the Bucks in a close one. But if I was a betting man in this one, I might take the points. I think it's 5, 5.5.
I bet it earlier in the week, a couple days ago. I have the Saints losing, but I took the 4.5.
Yes, I think that's probably the smart play. And, you know, you're a good gambler. I like that one.
All right, tomorrow's headlines today. Now, Cowboys at the Vikings.
Yeah.
The word on the street is Dak is out.
If you're looking at the line movement, right?
Yeah, then I would pound the Vikings.
Mm. Tough one. Minnesota favored by 3. The headline will be 1-2. Trayvon's coming for you. Trayvon Diggs versus Justin Jefferson is the matchup. And even if it's Cooper Rush, with the bye week, Mike McCarthy, fun nugget for you, 13-4-1 against the spread off a bye. I know McCarthy gets painted ugly. He's not a great coach. A lot of those numbers are with Aaron Rodgers. I just think off the bye, if they knew Dak was not in great shape, they have an install ready for Cooper Rush to come in and move the football against kind of an overrated Vikings defense. Remember, Patrick Peterson, the best cornerback on the Vikings, he's out this week. And, you know, Amari Cooper, I think the Cowboys can make some things happen. And Kirk Cousins in prime time, it's more of a Monday night football than Sunday night football thing. But Trayvon Diggs against Jefferson's worth the price of admission. I like the Cowboys. Close. Dallas pulling the mild upset.
Yeah, I think the only thing I disagree with is really strongly disagree. Because if Dak doesn't play, there's no way I can take Cooper Rush on the road. But I will say, I think the New England one's interesting. So Mac Jones, 10 quarters ago, second half against Houston, it started to click. And it's like, you know, all these guys, the light comes on at a different time. Like Trevor Lawrence threw a ton of picks in the first 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And now he's not throwing picks. So it's very interesting. I think... The Chargers' interior defense, like they have to get a defensive tackle or a Mike linebacker next year, an on-ball linebacker, because they just, you can run right at the Chargers,
take Bosa
sort of out of the game plan. So I think it's going to be one of those between the 30s games.
The last time the Patriots saw a good quarterback, Dak Prescott, 445 yards passing, 3 touchdowns. Okay. Justin Herbert at home should light this secondary up. I know that it's Belichick, but we get caught up in the past. You know, Belichick, defensive guy. Their defense stinks this year, Colin. It's like bottom 12 in the league facing bad quarterbacks. I think they get smoked here. I'm pulling for the Chargers hard, and yes, I am a Jets fan. I know.
Okay, okay. are you doing thanks? Are you doing Halloween?
I am doing Halloween. I will be dressed up as a character from the great cable streaming show Cobra Kai. It was a winner last year. I'm going to run it back. Joy knows Cobra Kai, obviously.
Yeah,
Colin,
of course.
you don't know Cobra Kai,
no,
do you?
No,
what are you watching, by the way?
No mercy.
Are you watching Squid Games?
No, I watch football. I'm like that Tony
Tuesday
Romo
night,
Corona
there's no
commercial.
Football, dude. Come on.
No.
Hey, I got to say, my wife bailed on Squid Games after an episode and a half. It's very violent but dark. You like dark stuff.
I do, but I haven't watched Squid Game. I got all these streaming services. You know what I watch? I watch cable and I watch sports. Mm. I'm sorry.
Okay. You watch it NBA in late October, huh? Okay.
I'm the last. I watch television. I watch cable and broadcast.
I like that as well.
I like my sports. All right. We'll see you Monday. Great stuff. It's The Herd.